Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and praise the Lord, everybody. This is Apostle Dr. Deborah Dean with the End Time Men and Women of Warren Global Ministries, along with the Life Support Outreach Church and our Prayer Room Ministry. So delighted this evening to be back on our live broadcast, on our radio broadcast for our Bible study on tonight. I just give God all praise and glory. Magnify His holy name on tonight. We're going to have a short devotion. We have three chapters tonight, so I do want to go right on and get with it on tonight. We're going to, scripture reading will be coming from Psalms number 2. Psalms 2. Why do the heathens rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and yet perish for the way when his wrath is kindled by a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. I have just read you the entire Psalms of Psalms. May God richly add a blessing to the readers and the hearers, but most of all, the doers of his most holy word. Okay, let's read the song.
So fight this battle for me and help my unbelief so I can tell all my friends that you have won again. Let your you that you have won again. You have won. Thank you. You did it again.
Yeah.
You have won again.
In the name of Jesus, Lord, we come humbly before your throne of grace on this evening, asking you to forgive us for every known and unknown sin, Father, that we've committed against you in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I come confessing and repenting, asking for forgiveness and cleansing through the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on tonight. Father, I just come now, God, asking you to let Deborah decrease, that the Holy Ghost may increase and minister to us on tonight. Father, move me from this flesh, God, that the Holy Ghost may take over in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I'm asking you to open up our understanding, open up our minds and our heart, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, that we may understand your word, God, that we may not add none to it or take nothing away from it, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, I ask you right now, God, to bless everyone under the sound of my voice. In the mighty name of Jesus, bless their families, God. In Jesus' name, I ask you to bind up every strong man right now, God. Bind up every strong man. Bind up the strong man, God. Every witch, every wizard, every warlock, every psychic, every demon on assignment, every medium, God. Your assignment is canceled on tonight. Your assignment is canceled in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I ask you right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, to keep them from, bind them up from this radio broadcast, our Bible study, God, and from our lives in the name of Jesus. I bind them up. I cast them out. I command you to go. I command you to go. I command you to go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. So let it be. So I'm going to start reading from Elisha unto the woman whose son he had restored to life, saying, arise and go, thou and thine household, and sojourn wheresoever thou canst sojourn, for the Lord have called for a famine, and it shall also come upon the land 7 years. And the woman arose, did after the saying of the man of God, and she went with her household and sojourned in the land of the Philistines 7 years. And it came to pass at the 7 years end that the woman returned out of the land of the Philistines, and she went forth to cry unto the king for her house and for her land. And the king talked with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, saying, tell me, I pray thee, all the great things that Elisha have done. And it came to pass, as he was telling the king how he had restored a dead boy to life, that behold, the woman whose son he had restored to life for her house and for her land. And Gehazi said, my lord, O king, this is the woman, and this is her son, whom Elijah restored to life. And when the king asked the woman, she told him. So the king appointed unto her a certain officer saying, restore all that was hers and all the fruits of the field since the day that she left the land, even until now. And Elisha came to Damascus, and Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, was sick. And it was told him, saying, the man of God is come hither. And the king said unto Hazael, take a present in thy hand and go meet the man of God. Inquire of the Lord by him, saying, shall I recover of this disease? So Hazael went to meet him and took a present with him, even a very good thing of Damascus, 40 camels burden, and came and stood before him and said, thy son Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, have sent me to thee, saying, shall I recover of this disease? And Elisha said unto him, go, say unto him, thou mayest certainly recover. Howbeit, the Lord has showed me that he shall surely die. And he settled his countenance and steadfastly unto him until he was ashamed, and the man of God wept. And Hazael said, why weepeth my Lord? And he answered, because I know the evil that thou wilt do unto the children of Israel. Their strongholds will, and their young men wilt thou slay with the sword, and will dash their children and rip up their women with the child. And Hazael said, but what is thy servant a dog that he should do this great thing? And Elisha answered, the Lord have showed me that thou shalt be king over Syria. And he departed from Elisha and came to his master, who said to him, what said Elisha to thee? And he answered, he told me that thou shouldest surely recover. And it came to pass on the morrow that he took a thick cloth and dipped it in water and spread it on his face, so that he died, and Hazael reigned in his stead. And in the fifth year of Joram, the son of Ahab, king of Israel, Jehoshaphat being then king of Judah, Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, began to reign. 32 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem. And he walked in the way of the king of Israel, as did the house of Ahab. For the daughter of Ahab was his wife, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord. Yet the Lord would not destroy Judah for David, his servant's sake, as he promised him to give him away a light and to the his children. In his days, Edom revoked it from under his hand, and Judah, and made a king over themselves. So Joram went over to Zar, all the chariots with him, and he rose by night and smote the Edomites, which compassed him about, and the captains of the chariots and the people fled unto their tents. Yet Edom revoked it from under the hand of Judah unto this day. Then Libnah revoked it at the same time, and the rest of the acts of Joram and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the king of Judah? And Joram slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. And Ahaziah's son reigned in his stead. And the 12th year of Joram, the son of Ahab, king of Israel, did Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, began to reign, 22 years old was Ahaziah when he began to reign. And he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Athaliah, the daughter of Omri, king of Israel, and he walked in the way of the house of Ahab and did even the sight of the Lord as did the house of Ahab, for he was the son-in-law of the house of Ahab. And he went with Joram, Ahab, to war, to the war against Hazael, king of Syria, in Ramoth Gilead. And the Syrians wounded Joram. And King Joram went back to be healed in Jezreel of the wounds which the Syrians had given him at Ramah when he fought against Hazael, king of Syria. And Ahaziah, the son of Joram, king of Judah, went down to see Joram. That's it. And Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, went down to see Joram, the son of Ahab, in Jezreel, chapter 9. And Elisha, the prophet, called one of the children of the prophets and said unto him, gird up thy loins and take this box of oil in thy hand and go to Ramoth Gilead. And when thou comest there, to look out there, Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, and go in and make him arise up from among his brethren and carry him to an inner chamber, then take the box of oil and pour it on his head and say, thus said the Lord, I have anointed thee king over Israel. Then open the door and flee and tarry not. So the young man, even the young man, the prophet, went to Ramoth Gilead. And when he came, behold, the captains of the host were sitting. And he said, I have an errand to thee, O captain. And Jehu said unto which of all of us? And he said to thee, O captain. And he arose and went into the house, and he poured the oil on his head and said unto him, thus said the Lord God of Israel, I have anointed thee king over the people of the Lord, even over Israel. And thou shalt smite the house of Ahab, thy master, and I may avenge the blood of my servant, the prophet, and the blood of all the servants of the Lord at the hand of Jezebel, for the whole house of Ahab shall perish. And I will cut off from Ahab him that pisses against the wall and him that is shut up and left in Israel. And I will make the house of Ahab like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Bashar, the son of Ahijah, and the dog shall eat Jezebel in the portions of Jezreel, and there shall be none to bury her. And he opened the door and fled. Then Jehu came forth to the servant of the Lord, and one said unto him, is all well? Wherefore came this mad fellow up thee? No, is it well? Wherefore came this mad fellow to thee? And he said unto them, you know the man and his communication. And they said, it is false. Tell us now. And he said, thus said the Lord, I have anointed thee king of Israel. Then they hasted and took every man his garment and put it under him on the top of the stairs and blew, saying, Jehu is king. So Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, conspired against Joram. Now Joram had kept Ramoth Gilead, and he and all Israel because of Hazael, king of Syria. But King Joram was turned to be healed in Jezreel of the wounds which the Syrians had given him when he fought with Hazael, king of Syria. And Jehu said, if it be your mind, then let's not go forth nor escape out of the city to go to tell it in Jezreel. So Jehu rode in a chariot and went to Jezreel, for Joram lay there. And Ahaziah, king of Judah, was come down to see Joram, and there stood a watchman on the tower of Jezreel, and he spied the company of Jehu as he came and said, I see a company. And Joram said, take an horseman and send to meet them, and let him say, it is peace. So there went one on horse to meet him and said, thus saith the king, is it peace? And Jehu said, what hast thou to do with peace? Turn thou behind me. And the watchman told, saying, the messenger came to them, but he cometh not again. Then he sent out a second on horseback, which came to them and said, thus said the king, is it peace? And Jehu answered, what has that to do with peace? Turn thee behind me. And the watchman told, saying, he came even unto them and came not again. And the driving is like the driving of Jehu, the son of Nimshi, for he driveth fiercely. And Joram said, make ready. And his chariot was made ready. And Joram, king of Israel, said, Ahaziah, king of Judah, went out each in his chariot. And they went out against Jehu and met him in the portion of Naboth of the Jezreelites. And it came to pass when Joram saw Jehu that he said, is it peace, Jehu? And he answered, what peace? So long as the whoredom of thy mother Jezebel and her witchcraft are so many. And Joram turned his hand and fled and said to Ahaziah, there is treachery, O Ahaziah. And Jehu drew a bow with his full strength and smote Jehoram between his arms, and the arrow went out at his heart, and he sunk down in his chariot. Then said Jehu to Bidkar, his captain, take up and cast him in the portion of his of Naboth, the Jezreelite. For remember how that when I and thou rose together after Ahab his father, the Lord laid his burden upon him. Surely I have seen yesterday the blood of Naboth and the blood of his son, said the Lord, and I will requite them in his plat, said the Lord. Now, therefore, take and cast him unto the plat of ground according to the word of the Lord. But when Ahaziah, the king of Judah, saw this, he fled by the way of the garden house. And Jehu followed him after him and said, smite him also in the chariot. And they did so at the going up to Gur, which is by Ibleam. And he fled to Megiddo and died there. And his servant carried him in a chariot to Jerusalem and buried him in his sepulchre with his father in the city of David. And in the 11th year of Joram, the son of Ahab, began Ahaziah to reign over Judah. And when Jehu was come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it, and she painted her face and tied her head and looked out of a window. And as Jehu entered in at the gate, she said, had Zimri peace, who slew his master? And he lifted up his face to the window on my side. Who? And there looked out to him two or three eunuchs. And he said, throw her down. So they threw her down, and some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall and on the horses, and he trod her underfoot. And when he was come in, he did eat and drink and said, go see now this cursed woman and bury her, for she is a king's daughter. And they went to bury her but they found no more of her than the skull, the feet, and the palms of her hands. Wherefore, they came again and told him, and he said, this is the word of the Lord which he spake by his servant Elijah the Tishbite, saying, in the portions of Jezebel shall dogs eat the flesh of Jezebel, and the carcass of Jezebel shall be as dung upon the face of the field, portions of Jezreel, so that they shall not say, this is Jezebel. So, chapter 10. Mm-hmm. And Ahab had 70 sons in Samaria. And Jehu wrote letters and sent to Samaria unto the rulers of Jezreel, to the elders, and to them that brought up Ahab's children, saying, now as soon as this letter cometh to you, seeing your master's sons are with you, and there are with you your chariots and horses, a fenced city also in armor. Look even out the best and meet it of your master's son, and set him on his father's throne, and fight for your master's house. But they were exceedingly afraid and said, behold, two kings stood not before him. Now then shall we stand. And he that was over the house and he that was over the city, the elders also in the bringers up of the children sent to Jehu, saying, we are thy servants and we'll do all that thou shalt bid us. We will not make any king. Do thou that which is good in thine eyes. Then he wrote a letter the second time to them, saying, if ye be mine, and if ye will hearken unto my voice, take ye the heads of the men of your master's sons, and come to me to Jezreel by tomorrow this time. Now the king's son, being 70 persons, were with the great men of the city, which brought them up. And it came to pass, when the letter came to them, that they took the king's son and slew 70 persons and put their heads in baskets and sent them to Jezreel. And there came a messenger and told him, saying, they have brought the heads of the king's son. And he said, lay ye them in two heaps at the entering of the gate until the morning. And it came to pass in the morning that he went out and stood and said to all them, ye be righteous. Behold, I conspired against my master and slew him. But who slew all of them? These. Know now that there shall fall unto the earth nothing of the word of the Lord, which the Lord spake concerning the house of Ahab. For the Lord hath done that which he spake by the servant Elijah. So Jehu slew all that remained of the house of Ahab in Jezreel, and all his great men and his kinfolk and his priests, until he left him nothing remaining. And he rose and departed and came to Samaria as he was at the shearing house in the way. Jehu met with the brethren of Ahaziah, king of Judah, and said, who are ye? And they answered, we are the brethren of Ahaziah, and we go down to salute the children of the king of the children of the queen and the children of the queen. And they took them alive and slew them at the pit of the shearing house, even 240 men, neither left he any of them. And when he was departed, then he lighted on Jehonadab, the son of Rekabad, coming to meet him, and he saluted him and said to him, is thine heart right as my heart is with thy heart? And Jehonadab answered, it is, if it be, give me thy hand. And he gave him his hand, and he took his hand to him into the chariot, and he said, come with me and see my zeal for the Lord. So they made him ride in the chariot. And when he came to Samaria, he slew all that remained unto Ahab in Samaria till he had destroyed him according to the sayings of the Lord, which he had spoke to Elijah. And Jehu gathered all people together and said unto them, Ahab served Baal a little, but Jehu served him much. Now therefore, call unto me all the prophets of Baal as his servants, and all his priests, let none be wanting, for I have a great sacrifice to do to Baal. Whosoever shall be wanting, he shall not live. But Jehu did it in subtlety, to the intent that he might destroy the worshippers of Baal. And Jehu said, proclaim a solemn assembly for Baal. And they proclaimed it. And Jehu sent through all Israel, and all the worshippers of Baal came, so that there was not a man left that came not. And they came into the house of Baal, and the house of Baal was from one end to another. And he said unto him that was over the vestry, bring forth vestments for all the worshippers of Baal. And he brought them forth vestments. And Jehu went, and Jehonadad, the son of Rechab, whatever that is, into the house of Baal, and said unto the worshippers of Baal, search and look, that there be here with you none of the servants of the Lord, but the worshippers of Baal only. And when they went in to other sacrifices and burnt offerings, Jehu appointed 80 men without, and said, if any of the men whom I have brought into your hands escape, he that letteth him go, his life shall be for the life of him. And it came to pass, as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, that Jehu said to the guard, to the captain, go in and slay them. Let none come forth. And they smote them with the edge of the sword, and the guard and the captains cast them out and went to the city of the house of Baal. And they brought forth the images out of the house of Baal and burned them. And they break down the image of Baal and break down the house of Baal and made it a draught house. Until this day, this Jehu destroyed Baal out of Israel. How be it for the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, Jehu departed not from after them, to wit the golden calves that were in Beth, and that were in Dan. And the Lord said unto Jehu, because thou hast done well in executing that which is right in my eyes, and hast done unto the house of Ahab according to all that was in my heart, thy children of the fourth generation shall sit on the throne of Israel. But Jehu took no heed to walk in the law of the Lord God of Israel, which all his heart, for he departed not from the sins of Jeroboam, which made Israel to sin. In those days the Lord began to cut Israel short, and Hazael smote them in all the coasts of Israel, from Jordan eastward, all the land of Gilead, the Gittites, and the Reubenites, and the Manassehites, from Orah is by the river Arnon, even Gilead and Bashan. Now the rest of the acts of Jehu and all that he did in all his might, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? And Jehu slept with his fathers, and they buried him in Samaria. And Jehoshaphat, his son, reigned in his stead. Let me see. And the time that Jehu reigned over Israel and Samaria was 28 years. Let me see. That's not Jehoshaphat. That's Jehoahaz. his son reign instead. Amen. The word of God for the children of God. Amen. Get these questions, man. It took me 30 minutes to read them three chapters. Woo. Amen. The first question, chapter 8. Who did Elijah warn about a 7-year famine? My amen. Who discovered that Syria had fled? Wait a minute, I'm in the wrong chapter. Wait a minute. Who did Benadad seek to ask if they would recover from his disease? Verse 8.
Elisha.
What was he told? I think that's verse 14.
Yeah.
Oh, 14.
He would recover. Go ahead.
Certainly, surely recover. Yeah. But the Lord had shown him that he was going to certainly die.
Mm-hmm. I wonder why that was.
So he told him to tell him a lie. Because he wasn't going to recover. He was going to die.
All right.
And I think it was just the whole orchestration of him, you know, what was to come next.
Yeah, because that's really what happened. He said, you might recover, but you're still going to die. Mm-hmm. How did he die?
Was he assassinated?
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't die. See, he was recovered. He recovered from the illness.
But he killed
his own self. He recovered from the illness.
He killed his own self. He got a piece of rag and wet it.
What? Yeah.
And put it over his face.
Hazael killed him. Because he was going to become king. Remember, the prophet had put that in his mind, and he said, I want to say he's going to recover, but he's going to surely die because Hazael was going to become king. And so knowing that he was going to become king, he hurried it along. So he the one who wet the cover and put it over the king.
Yeah, he didn't die from that illness.
And
so he did lie to him. He didn't lie to him because he told him that he would surely recover from that sickness that he had.
You don't say Hazael killed him, but I guess he did.
It says in verse 15, it says, and it came about the morrow that he took the cover and dipped it in water and put it on his face. So it was, if you start at 14, so he departed from Elisha, returned to his master, who said to him, what did Elisha say to you? And he answered, he told me that you would surely recover. And it came about on the morrow that he took the cover, he dipped it in water, spread it on his face so that he died. And Hazael became king in his place. So he smothered him. He dipped it. He wet the cover because you can't breathe no cover in water.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So he killed him because he wanted to become king.
That's right. Hazael.
Mm-hmm. Because Elisha had just told him he was going to become king. He's like, all right, I'm going to hurry this process up.
Yeah,
right. And that's why Elijah wept because he wept because he saw it.
Yep. Yeah.
He knew
it. Mm-hmm.
I thought he wept because he said he was gonna be king. He was gonna do all this stuff to them people, to Israel.
Right.
That's why I thought he wept. You know, I don't know what they said. He said he was gonna rape the wife and
mm-hmm.
the ones mm-hmm. that was like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He wept because, he saw that Hazael, after he took the throne, he was going to do evil
mm-hmm.
to the children of Israel.
Yep.
And
that's
so that's the same thing
with
you're saying. Yeah.
Chapter 9, y'all. Okay. Who was anointed as king of Israel? What happened to the first two messengers King Joram sent to inquire of Jehu? What happened to them? And it's in verse 18 or 19. Let me see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so they went out
in peace of him. Mm-hmm.
Back him and said, "Thus said the Lord, is it peace?" And he said, "What hast thou to do with turn thee behind me?" So they joined with him.
Mm-hmm.
They joined with him. He said, and me, and the watchman told, saying, the messenger came to them, but he cometh not again. So what they did, both times, they joined in with Jehu. Instead
mm-hmm.
of coming back in with Jehu, because Jehu said, peace, nothing, get on behind me. Mm-hmm. They jump.
Cause I'm about to take over this whole thing.
Verse 3. Why did Jehu not come in peace to King Joram? That should be about the 22nd verse.
Say it again. Mm-hmm. What was the question?
Why did Jehu not come in peace to King Joram?
Because he came to destroy all of the stuff they had done, and their family had done. So,
mm-hmm. The mama says it came to pass when Joram saw Jehu that he said, "Is it peace?"
Jehu?
And
mm-hmm.
he answered, "What peace? So long as the whoredom of thy mother Jezebel and her witchcraft
mm-hmm.
are so many."
Mm-hmm.
Jehu was upset about that.
Yeah,
they had
a kill on their hands, baby.
Yeah, became a tear down.
They was in the army, too?
mm-hmm. Right. What prophecy was fulfilled concerning the descendants of Ahab? And that should have been verse 24.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That their blood would be shed on the plot
mm-hmm.
ground Ahab from Naboth. And there would be none to reign on the throne. So,
mm-hmm.
in other words, kill them all.
Yeah,
and they drew a bow
mm-hmm.
with full strength and smote Jehoram between his arms.
Mm-hmm.
And the arrow went out at his heart. And then he sunk in the
mm-hmm.
chariot. And then now they just start killing all of them. All of
mm-hmm.
them. Everybody. Ahab's household, even his son-in-law, everybody,
mm-hmm.
the priests and Now, let me just get these questions. Okay. What happened to King Ahaziah?
He got killed.
Verse 27.
Wasn't he Jehoram's son? So he was Jezebel and Ahab's grandchild, I think.
Mm-hmm. Was he?
Well, he had to go to, yeah, I think he had to go to, because Jehoram was married to Jezebel and Ahab's daughter, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ahaziah was the son of Jehoram. Mm.
Mm-hmm.
I know it was two of them. It was two King Ahaziahs. I think this is the one that was Jehoram's son. So he was of the same bloodline, so he was going to have to go.
I didn't know that was that grandson. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. I think that's, yeah, I think that's their grandson.
Because I know that Edgar had a son. And I know he got killed, but I thought he was young when he got killed.
Mm-hmm.
I knew he
Which
had
one?
This. Uh-huh. I knew he was young. I didn't know. Okay. Verse chapter 10. No, we don't see it. We're on number 6. What is the first thing Jezebel did when she heard Jehu was coming?
She painted her
face.
When it put on her makeup.
Why?
Because she was a Jezebel.
She was somebody else.
and all in the window.
Yeah,
all
saying,
in the window. Put her stuff on her head.
Was it?
Martin,
he thought she was going to, I guess, get his favor or something. I don't know. She was doing
all
more.
In the window. Okay, favor.
Yeah.
Because this is... This man,
he was out to get them. He was out to get them.
He was anointed twice. Yeah, he was anointed for this. He was anointed for this. He was anointed by Elijah, and he was anointed by those prophets.
Elijah.
By them.
Mm-hmm. And then
he was anointed by Elijah.
Didn't they call him crazy? Didn't they say he was a lunatic or something like that? So he must have been going around that crazy.
Mm-hmm.
They said something about, like, here he comes. He was, one of them verses said something about the way he was driving the chariot.
Yeah,
he was around there going ham.
He was going fast. He was driving fast. That's all.
He was
moving.
In 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 16 through 17, he was anointed by Elijah. Also. And so he was not playing about his anointing and what God called him to do. He was not playing.
To do. He was not at all.
Well, okay. Let's get this. Okay. How did Jezebel die?
Ooh.
She
fell out the window, didn't she?
They threw her down. It was three Enoch. What was left of Jezebel to bury?
Oh, that was
her
bad.
Her
skull,
her feet,
and the
palms of her hands.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That was
Jesus. He wasn't playing, was he?
No.
Not at all. Not at all.
Okay. And what prophecy was fulfilled concerning Jezebel's death? What Elijah said, the dogs is going to eat her flesh.
The dogs is going to eat her. Mm-hmm.
Okay, chapter 10. How many sons did Ahab have in Samaria? That rascal was
seven.
A lot of kids. 70 sons.
Seven.
70. That's crazy.
Sons. I just can't believe it. He must have spent his whole life having babies, making babies. Lord, have mercy.
They mama.
What did Jehu ask the elders who raised Ahab's sons? What did he ask them to do?
Verse 2 and 3.
He asked them to cut the heads of their sons off. The head of Ahab's sons. And they talking about, we'll do all that you say we to do. And he said, well, cut the heads off and bring them to me by this tomorrow. And they did just that. He told them to put it at the head of the gate, at the entrance of the gate, when he got through. Okay. What did Jehu do to 42 of Ahaz, Ahaziah's brothers? He did the same.
He was killing them people.
You hear me?
He said, well, nobody going to be left.
Killed the brothers of Ahaziah. What is his name?
Killing.
How did Jehu fool the Baal worshippers?
This was funny.
He called them all together
like he was getting ready to give praise to Baal.
Sacrifice.
And trick them.
Do a great sacrifice for Baal. That's right. What did Jehu feel destroy when he did all of that? What did he not destroy?
Them golden calves he was worshiping.
Yeah, because he did all that to get in trouble.
You did all that to get in trouble at the end. Why?
Right.
He wasn't all the way in.
That was some stuff right there. And honey, if I'd have went that far, I'd have went all the way. God said, do it.
Thank you.
Well, it was surely good, all I can say. It was surely good. I had read it the other day, but I read just by me reading it again tonight. It was really good, you know, because when we around here doing all our thing and acting like Jezebel, we better know what's going to happen. You done killed all the gods. God's prophets, 400 prophets. Yeah, you're going to die, and the dog's going to eat you up, your eyeballs, your tongue, and everything else.
Ain't nobody going to know you.
You know, that's a lot. That is a lot. Any questions?
I thought about Jehu, how he did all of that, and he just went so hard to do what, you know, he was called to do, but he just wouldn't let go of that one thing. And I think about how many, leaders and preachers, you know, it's like you put all these years and hours and days and months into building churches and building congregations and studying and evangelizing, but you're still holding on to, you know, whether it's you know, some type of idol worship, some type of sexual sin, and it's going to destroy you. So all of the good that you did, you're not going to profit from it, because you're still holding on to that, like, one thing. Like, you know, it's going to destroy you in the end.
Well, I was talking to my husband today about these prophets coming up now. I was just looking today at TikTok and all them today. And I'm seeing the other day I was looking at this one prophet, and I always thought he was real good. But he said God destroyed the earth with water. And he destroyed all men, but he didn't destroy Noah. And he said that's because Noah was not a man. I said, what?
I don't understand what he's trying to say. Like, what you trying to say? What you saying?
He said, Noah, and I mean, when you say this stuff and all them young people saying, that's right, yes, and praise the Lord and amen, I'm like, you Negroes better watch what you're saying. Noah wasn't an angel. He wasn't no angel, and he wasn't just a spirit. He was a man. He had three sons. What he screwed and got, he was a man. So I don't know why he said that. That's just crazy.
That's just, people be so crazy. They lost. They just say anything. They don't have no sense.
They just trying to add to God's word when he said, don't do that. Don't do that. And this man claimed that he have an angel. It's an angel standing by him all the time, telling him what to do and what to say. The angel did not tell him to say that.
It could have been one of them other angels.
Right.
Because you remember when Lucifer left, he took a third of heaven with him. So it's some devil's angels out there. Every angel ain't holy.
That's right. Because let me tell you something. Why would you say that Noah was not a man? Noah was a man.
He was a man.
So I don't know why Hippocrates gets that out of there.
And the thing was, then he went off. He didn't
say nothing else about that. Well, he might have did, but he went off. I'm like, you need to straighten this out. But you know what?
Mm-hmm.
We gotta study to show ourselves approved. We can't listen to these young people because they ain't been studying long as we have. And they saying any and everything, because I heard another prophet on there today, a young man, and he said all kind of stuff. And then he turned around and said, I want each one of y'all to give $223. I said, boy, you ain't said nothing. You ain't did nothing. You ain't even prayed for nobody. I mean, you ain't did nothing. You think I don't even know you. I know you're not asking me. You know, it's just, if somebody going to sow, he's talking about, and this would be, what he say, this is just the beginning of my ministry or something to help his ministry or something. I don't even know if you got no ministry. You just on here saying something. This is the kind of stuff we have to watch out in the end time, in the last days, because he going to come. Mm-hmm. They people going to come in his name, and it's not of him. He say that they will do that. So we got to watch out, and we can't take it. We got to go to the Word and search it out, work it out, because it's going to get rough here in a minute. It's going to get rough here, and if you don't know that word, you're going to be up the creek without a paddle. Talking about Noah was not a man. Stand up there looking in the camera, I see it. Look at that devil. God probably just slapped him real hard in the spirit. I just had to get that out. That had been bothering me ever since I heard it. I said, Lord, am I missing something? And then my husband said, that man had three sons. He was screwing just like everybody else back then. Going in, what's that called? Going into some, go in the room, whatever. You know, they don't say that in the Bible. They say, and he went in with her. And shoot, that's something. But anyway, y'all, that was this good lesson, y'all. That was
just reading this about Jehu. It says that Jehu showed that he did not live a life of fellowship with God. He was a success in one regard, but a successful failure.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just something how people and men of God can be an instrument of God, but yet they never have a relationship with God. They never had a relationship with God.
He can use our enemies. He can use anybody to get what he needs done. You know what I'm saying? God do that now.
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of these pastors and stuff, you know, you just, you know, they are instruments, you know. And I'm not going to say that they don't win souls, you know, for Christ and don't get people in. But still, their heart never changed. They still doing the same old, same old. Building bedrooms in the back of the church. And what's that for?
Right.
In your office. What is that about?
That's why the Bible said, he said, many of you are going to say you did this in my name and that in my name, and I'm going to say, depart from me. I never knew you, you worker of iniquity.
You work.
That's right.
But you have to serve God with your whole heart.
Whole heart.
With
that's
all
it.
Of your
that's
heart.
It.
With all of your heart. And
that's
he
it.
Did not. He did not.
He did not serve God with his whole heart. He did all of that. All of that.
I wonder
why he's doing this though then. If he didn't have no relationship with God, why was he doing it?
He was anointed to do it.
But he was called to do it. But you know how people, it's just like, you know, the gifts come with, without repentance.
Without repentance.
You know, God will give somebody, and so you'll have a preacher that don't have no power, but he still have the gift of preaching. And so he comes with authority. He speaks with authority. So Jehu, everybody that he said, come get behind me, they didn't even argue. People were afraid of him, so he must have had some type of, you know, zeal and influence. You know how you had those preachers.
It was a military, yeah.
Just,
it was in the Bible.
Yeah, he was strong. Yeah, people were scared of him. So that power, you know, people get power hungry. They forget all about God. They
That's
forget
right.
all about that original
That's
call,
right.
that original prophecy, and they get so caught up in pride, you know, and get lifted up in their
personal
own,
glory.
You know, power. Yeah, the glory. Yep, yep, yep. And then there you go.
Yep, it
and
did.
Why, you know,
but Jehu took no heed to walk in the law of the Lord,
That's
God
right.
of Israel, with all his heart.
But then God promised him that his children to the fourth generation would be blessed, or some would be kings,
because he carried out God's will. That's right.
Go which verse was that? Because I was wondering whether it was saying to the fourth generation or it had to get to the fourth generation.
No. It was fourth generation. Let me.
He would be rewarded with a dynasty that will last for four generations.
Yeah. And the Lord said, Jehu, because you have done well in Shiloh, and I've done so the house according to the laws in my heart, your son. No, this is your son of the fourth generation.
Your son shall
sit
on the throne.
So that means that three generations after you going to have problems until we get to the fourth. It's going to take four generations, but by that fourth one, they'll be in right standing.
Oh, okay.
Huh?
You know what I'm saying? So the fourth generation, so not your children or your grandchildren, but your great-great-grandkids going to be good. Them generations right after you going to struggle because of what you did. But by the time we get to the fourth, I'm going to take care of them. They're going to be straight. That's how I'm reading it. Not to the fourth generation, but of the fourth generation. I'm not sure what
It says because you have done well in doing what is right in my sight and have done to the house of Ahab all that was in my heart, your sons shall sit on the throne of Israel to the fourth generation. To the fourth generation.
Yeah. And yeah, see, this one says of the fourth, and I wonder what, because that's a difference. To the fourth and of the fourth is two different.
That's different.
I wonder. Well, because you know how sometimes it don't be right with your kids, but it be right by the time the grandkids come along. It gets straightened out.
Yeah,
it
be straightened out now. Yeah, that Jehu. So he has reminded me of a lot of these people around here. You see, personal glory.
We don't get ready to close out.
Yeah, who is 35?
It's okay. always do these Bible studies for an hour and a half. I always do
it
for that.
What time is it, 8:30?
Mm-hmm. 8:35.
Mm-hmm.
All righty. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word, God. We thank you for allowing us to understand your word in our heart and our mind. Lord, I ask you to cover everyone under the sound of my voice, God. Cover their families and homes. Cover their vehicles, God. I ask you to bless and cover now, Lord. This was just good, God. I just thank you for your word again.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
I ask all the things in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen, amen, amen. It was good.
Amen.
I've been thinking about
yes,
this for a while. So, y'all go ahead and have a good night. I'll see y'all by the grace
amen.
Of God this morning. Y'all have a good night.
Good
yeah,
night.
I'm work in the morning.
All right. Have good a good night. Night, everybody. Love y'all.
Good night.
Love you too.
Love you.
Okay.